It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. You may be seated.
The Revolutionary War was our fight for freedom. It was the war this nation fought in order to be free from Britain. And those of us who live around here, we know of Bunker Hill, and there was a famous battle right nearby, right? You've probably heard of the Boston Tea Party. Some people may know about the battle at Yorktown, Virginia, which was kind of the effective end of the whole war. Not many people know about the Battle of Monmouth, New Jersey, which could have been, potentially, the end of the war if the exercise of freedom hadn't gotten in the way of the fight for freedom. Let me tell you about it. The year was 1778. Britain was getting a little tired of the war and the way it was going. So they sent an order from England to the commander of the British army here saying, get out of Philadelphia, because they had occupied Philadelphia, which was our capital at the time. And they said, get out of there, just travel northeast, get on some ships and travel up to New York, and we may even have you go further northeast. We're going to regroup and we're going to come back and maybe do something different, maybe attack the south of the United States. And so that commander of the British army, instead of obeying the order and getting on that ships that were there and using those ships to go up north, he decided to exercise his freedom to do something different, and he had his men hike across Pennsylvania and through New Jersey and all these narrow winding roads through these small towns and villages to get where they needed to go, going toward the northeast. Meanwhile, General George Washington, the commander-in-chief of the Army of the Continental, what we are now the United States, but the Continental Army, he met with his guys and they talked about it, and he made a plan that he wanted to go and begin to just harass and bother these British lines as they moved across and see if he could test them and find some weak spots, and maybe, just maybe, they'd find an opportunity to just do an all-out attack, and maybe, who knows, that might have been possible to be the end of the war. He put in charge of all this General Charles Lee. Now, Charles Lee was an experienced, very knowledgeable soldier who'd been around a while. He was also really arrogant and wasn't so sold on Washington's plan. So he went out to where they were supposed to go and track down the British army, and he had all his different divisions that he was responsible for. But he used his freedom to decide that he wasn't going to obey all the directions that General Washington gave him, and instead he was going to do some different things. And then in turn, some of his commanders, leading the units he was supposed to be commanding, they made some decisions for themselves. They used their freedom to decide, you know what, General Lee told us to go here, but we're going to go over there. And so he effectively would have, you know, troops bumping into each other, leaving gaping holes in their line. And before anyone knew what was happening, the American army was running away and retreating without ever really having fought much of a battle at all, because no one really knew what was going on, because there was no communication, and because people were just using their freedom to make their own decisions based on what they wanted to do and not listening to their orders. It's odd to think, you know, what could have been a decisive moment in that war that would have ended it a couple years early if people hadn't just used their freedom and gotten in the way of the fight for freedom. And I was reading about that this week, and it just struck me, it's so odd that freedom can get in the way of freedom. Such a weird thought that freedom can actually get in the way of freedom. For the month of August, we're talking about how to be a community of people who obey Jesus' command to love one another. It's a simple command, easy to grasp. It's only three words: love one another. And it's what Jesus has told us to do. Jesus said that this is how the world will know that we're following him. In other words, this is the best way to communicate to the world what God is like, by the way we love one another. And it's what our church name comes from, too, Freedom Hill Community Church. We derive from one key verse in particular in Galatians 5 that Darlene just read. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And it just so happens that the people to whom Paul was writing these words, They were having some difficulty with freedom. They were having difficulty understanding freedom and how to use it, because it turns out there is a right way to use freedom and there are also wrong ways to use freedom. So let's dig into that a little bit this morning. If you have your phone and you have internet connection, then you can follow along in our app and keep notes there, or you can follow along on the screen. Let's read again Galatians 5:13. This is what he says in the first part of that verse. This is the wrong way to use freedom. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." Well, he explains what he means by that a couple verses later. Let me read them to you. Verse 19 to 21 says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, and orgies, and the like." In other words, there's a whole bunch of things, but he says they're obvious, these the works of the flesh. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." In other words, people who live just to satisfy what they want and how they feel, that is the wrong way to use freedom. That is not what freedom's about. I remember when I was 17 years old, my two older brothers had already moved out of the house, and my parents took my sister Darlene and went to Sweden for a vacation, leaving me alone. My grandmother was there, but I was effectively alone. And I remember waving goodbye to their taxi as they got in it to drive to the airport, and just thinking, freedom! I can eat whatever I want, wherever I want. I can watch TV all day long. I can play video games all day long. I can have anybody I want over. I can do whatever I want. There's no one to bother me. That feeling of freedom. And that's often what we think of as freedom. We think of it as, you know, the kid going off to college and no more parents there to tell them when to go to sleep, what to eat, who to hang out with, who not to hang out with, what not to drink, what party not to go to, what activities to engage in or not. We think that that kid, that first year of college kid, just feels freedom to do whatever they want, right? We think that's freedom. We think freedom is when the clock strikes 5 on that Friday, the last day before we're going on vacation, and we're like, that's it, I'm done with this place, and we just leave work, and we think, I'm totally free. Or if you're older and you know, you've been waiting for the day your kids grow up and finally leave the house so you and your spouse can be alone, and you think, freedom, finally they're gone. Or freedom, finally the kids are back to school, right? That freedom we think of is, I can do what I want to do. I can walk around wearing whatever I want to walk around wearing. I am free. That's what we think of as freedom. And there's the question I want to ask us today to wrestle with. Is that really the epitome of freedom? Is freedom about what you're free from? Or is freedom about what you're free for? Fast forward a couple years, I was 19 years old. My parents went away again with my sister for a vacation, and I was home alone again. And we had a friend coming over who's helping me redo one of the bathrooms in my parents' house. And one of his little kids was there, and he let the door open, and our dog got out. And so our dog took off running and running and running, enjoying his freedom. I called him. I went after him. He, with no interest in coming back, all he could think of was, I am free. I am free from the leash. I am free from the house. I'm free from the cat, who we also had a cat. I'm free from all of that stuff. I can just run and be free. And that's all that was going through that dog's mind. Running and running and running. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Until he ran into a car. And that was the end of his freedom. The path of misused freedom always, always, always leads to tragedy. That's why what you're free for is even more important than what you're free from. If freedom is only about being free from any limitations, free to do what I want, when I want, however I want, then that means that freedom, think about this, if that's what freedom is, I'm going to do whatever I want, how and when I want, that means that freedom is the enemy of community and relationship and love. Because as soon as you get into a relationship with someone or with a group of people, whether it's your family or your colleagues at work or friends, as soon as you enter into a relationship, immediately those people have some say in what you do and how you do it and why you do it and when you do it and all those things. You can't just do whatever you want whenever and however anymore. This is why, guys, you know, I've done a bunch of weddings, and always this joke is the same. We're in the back room, and the groom's there, and the groomsmen say before we come out, are you sure you want to do this? This is the end of your freedom. Children, parents, every relationship, it's the same. If freedom is about doing what, when, and how I want, That means that every relationship is a freedom killer. And that means that freedom is a relationship killer. That's why Paul says, if that's how you're going to approach freedom, then watch out. Verse 15, he says, if you bite and devour each other, because that's what that kind of freedom does, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Because if you're using freedom to just indulge what you want, your selfish desires, what you want, then what's going to happen is you're going to treat other people as fuel and as food for your desire, for the things that are going to make you happy. And if I'm treating you that way and you're treating me that way, we're going to be fighting because I want you to be fuel for me, to feed my desires, to make me feel good and do what I want you to do. And you're going to be trying to make me fuel to do what you want to do. And so we're going to conflict and we're going to fight and we're going to tear each other apart. We're going to destroy community because we're treating each other as fuel. That's what this way of using freedom does. This way of using freedom kills community. It devours it. Thank God there is a right way to use freedom, though. There is a right way to use freedom, and it starts when we ask what freedom is for. Let's talk about the right way to use freedom. Go to verse 13 again. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Just pause there for a moment. God called you to be free. It's an amazing gift of God. But do not use freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, use it to serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Freedom is a tool that we've been given to build community and grow love. That's what freedom is for. If you want to know how the right way to use freedom is, if you want to know what that is, then you've got to start with the right question about freedom. And that question is, what is freedom for? Freedom is for what Jesus tells us. It's for serving one another in love. Jesus has set us free from being selfish and sinful and using all of our energy to serve ourselves and our desires that run counter to God. Jesus set us free from that, but what did he set us free for? He set us free for the ability to humbly serve and care for others, because what happens when you and I begin to humbly care and serve others with our freedom? What do we make when we do that? What do we create? We create the most precious thing our world has, love. That doesn't happen when I'm using my freedom to just serve what I want. That only happens when I'm using my freedom the way Jesus showed us to use freedom. I'm using it to humbly serve other people. That's when we begin to build love and build community. And that's what the gospel message is. Love is what you get when you use freedom the right way. Jesus used his freedom to buy our freedom from sin and selfishness. Jesus pours out his spirit on us to give us power and strength to now live that out so that that kind of freedom is a reality in our lives. I'm free from having to do the things that I want to do, the selfish things, and I'm free to create love and have relationship with other people. Just a few verses later, Paul's going to show them what this is, what grows out of the lives of people who use freedom the right way. And this is what he says in verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, what comes out of our lives when we use freedom the right way, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law, he says. Wherever people use freedom the right way, the way Jesus showed us to use it, you don't need laws or rules or guidelines printed on posters and put up there so everyone knows what they should do and shouldn't do. Because if everyone is using freedom the way Jesus showed us to use freedom, then we're using it to love one another, to care for one another, to try and serve one another and do what is best for others. Not to look out for ourselves, to look out for my rights, to get my way. But here's where we've gotten this all twisted. In our nation in particular, I think we've gotten this twisted. And I like the way Ravi Zacharias puts it. Ravi Zacharias is one of the most brilliant Christians that has walked the planet. He passed away just a few weeks ago, sadly. Thankfully, we have a lot of the things he did and said, but he would travel around our country and around the world, and he would debate with people and talk about Jesus. He would particularly go to college campuses. And this is what he said about when he spoke here in the U.S. He said, "I particularly like to warn my American audiences about this. Freedom is not the same thing as autonomy. Freedom does not mean I'm a law unto myself." And that is the mistake, the tragic mistake that many people are making today when they talk about freedom. That we equate freedom to autonomy, that we think freedom means I do what I want, when I want, how I want. And so we've gotten a confused version of freedom. That's not what freedom is. And then he tells a story about Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, the husband of Queen Elizabeth. And he was speaking at a college one time, and the kids, they had the freedom to speak out, and they were just being raucous, and they were being rude and disrespectful. And in the middle of all this, he yells out something very unregal. He says, "Shut up!" to all these kids there. And then he tells them this. Listen to this sentence. He tells them, "Freedom can be destroyed as easily by making a mockery of it as it can by its retraction." In other words, freedom can be taken away from you by force. Someone can take your freedom and enslave you, right? But equally bad, freedom can be taken away by treating it carelessly, by treating it as a mockery, by not respecting it for what it needs to be, by making it only about getting your way. That's another way we can destroy freedom and what freedom truly is. And then he goes on, and this is how he summarizes all this. He says, "That's precisely what man has done. In an attempt to be reasonable, man has become irrational. In an attempt to deify himself, he has defaced himself. In an attempt to be free, he has made himself a slave." Because once you start only living for yourself, and when you make freedom all about just getting your way and what you want and only doing what you want to do, you now become a slave to doing only what you want to do. And you are the worst person to have to answer to. Your desires and all of that will drive you up a wall. It'll drive you to destroy relationship if you're only seeking what you want, when you want it, how you want it. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there are a lot of people talking about freedom. A lot of people using it the wrong way, though, speaking about freedom, and what they mean is autonomy, they not have to answer to anybody, just do whatever they want. Saying, no, I'm free, that means I can do whatever I want, wherever I want, whenever. We're using freedom the wrong way, and it's tearing our nation apart. Have you noticed that our nation seems to be devouring itself? It's heartbreaking to watch and see and be part of. Let's take, for example, something as simple as, you know, wearing a mask. Right, this is a good case study for how we view freedom. You know, on the one hand, if you define freedom one way, you can say, you know, freedom means I can do what I want to do. That means I will wear the mask or not wear the mask depending on how I feel. And if I don't like wearing the mask, I don't feel like wearing the mask, I don't like the idea of it, then I cannot wear that mask, and that's an act of freedom. I'm free, I don't have to wear the mask. That's one way of viewing freedom. And that may be the way our country now views freedom. It hasn't historically always been the way we view freedom, but it seems like that's where a lot of our nation is going. But if you're a follower of Jesus, that's not how you view freedom. If you're a follower of Jesus, and when I say follower of Jesus, I don't just mean a Christian. There are a lot of people who go to church. There are a lot of people who would say they're Christians. But when I say follower of Jesus, I mean someone who spends time regularly reading God's word to know Jesus, to understand who he is and what he's done, and to live their lives following Jesus' example, which is so difficult to do except that Jesus has given us his spirit to empower us and enable us to do it. That's what I mean. Someone who cares about this is what Jesus said, this is how Jesus went, and now that's going to shape my life and what I do. That's what I mean. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you've got a different definition of freedom. And you're more concerned about what it's for, not what it's from. If you're a follower of Jesus, then it's a tool. You see it, it's a tool for building community and growing love. It's not about what it's from wearing a mask or anything else. Freedom is for relationship building, not individuating. I'm free from myself so that I can have relationship, because when I'm not free from myself, I destroy relationship. That's what selfishness does. I'm free so that I can humbly seek the good of others, and in doing that, join together with them and grow community, grow relationship, and grow love. That's what this freedom that Jesus gave us produces. And if we're followers of Jesus, that's how we're going to view freedom, the way he did, that it's for building love and relationship and community. So even though I don't like wearing this thing, my face gets all sweaty and it just, eventually starts to smell and all that stuff, right? No one likes wearing this pretty much, right? But I'm going to wear it as an act of freedom. understanding that what freedom means is an act of love, an act of care. Because if this means that I'm going to lower the risk that you get sick, then that to me is a no-brainer. This is no big deal. I can put this on. What's the big deal? Right? If it means that I can lower the chances of someone else, and if I'm about loving other people, that's what my freedom is about, then I'm going to do the thing that's loving. Even if I'm not sure it's going to be 100% effective or whatever, but if this is a chance, I'm going to do that because that's what freedom does, because freedom is looking out to serve others and care for others. That's what it does. It expresses my love. But that's a fairly simple thing, I think. A mask is a very simple thing. What about when we get to more complex issues, like when should businesses open? What businesses should be open? How should they be open? What do you do with schools? Now, things get more difficult then, and that's where there's a lot of fighting. But imagine if, with me, just imagine if we all approach this asking what freedom was for instead of what freedom was from. Imagine how that might change the conversation. Imagine if we were all using freedom as a way to build community and build love and serve one another humbly. Imagine how that might change the dialogue and change the way we talk to one another. Because even though we still might disagree about what's the best thing to do, we'd all have the same goal of humbly serving and loving one another. And then imagine if we were doing that, how a pandemic, instead of tearing us apart, could become a thing that draws us together and actually deepens love. That's one of the things I sit with married couples and talk about often, because they get into fights, every married couple does, and then you feel like, oh, that's destroyed our love. I'm like, no, this is an opportunity to grow your love even deeper. Because if you look at freedom the way Jesus looked at freedom, then you see things like dealing with a pandemic or dealing with racism or dealing with partisan election times, all is an opportunity for us to, if I'm going to use my freedom to build relationship and love by serving others humbly and looking out for their interests, that's going to change the tone of the conversation. Because right now, bitterness and anger and a dark cloud of sin and evil hangs over our nation right now. Because our world, our nation does not have a captivating picture of this freedom that Jesus demonstrated to us and gave to us and calls us to live in. Our nation needs a captivating picture of what this freedom looks like in action, of the right way to use freedom to shine and to radiate and demonstrate this is what could be and what could come out of even trouble, a love-generating freedom that Jesus gave up his freedom to win for us. And I don't know about you, but I often get discouraged and feel like that's not possible. There's no way our country is going to change. There's no way the world is going to change. People are people. They are a mess. And even if I can be good for a little while, I'm not always going to be good. I'm not going to use my freedom the right way. And there are times when you just feel so overwhelmed and you just want to give up and there's just no way it's going to happen. Let me just sit here and wait for Jesus to come and put an end to all this and make it all better. And then Jesus knocks on my heart and says, did I save you? Did I set you free for you to sit there? Or did I set you free so you could go and share this freedom? That's what he's given us to do. And look, there's no denying that to do that is going to be costly. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be times when it hurts. There are going to be times when sharing this kind of love and using our freedom this way, we're going to get trampled. It's a difficult road to walk. That's treacherous and many will be very costly at times. And yet what encourages me is remembering that Jesus not only walked this road, but Jesus paved this road with his blood. In Western Colorado, there's a road called the Million Dollar Highway. And it's cut through a mountain. They built it in 1880. It's treacherous. You could see the edge is like, you fall off that edge, you're done. And it's curving and curving and curving. And it's about 25 miles of road. They call it the Million Dollar Highway. And a lot of people don't know why they call it that. They assume, oh, it must have just cost $1 million per mile. Well, if that cost $1 million per mile in 1880, that would be about $25 million a mile today, which the average highway today costs $4 to $5 million per mile. So think about that, right? And that's how most people thought, oh, it just must have been really expensive. But that's not the truth. That's not why it's called the Million Dollar Highway. It's called the Million Dollar Highway because as they were cutting through that mountain, they had to get ore from the local mines that were in that mountain for the roadbed. And it just so happened that those were gold mines. And in 1880, the processes they had for extracting gold dust and gold nuggets from that fill and all that weren't as sophisticated as what we have today, which means that the bed they laid for large sections of that road has who knows how much gold in it, well over $1 million worth. It is paved with something precious. The bed of that road is something precious. And that reminds me that, yes, this road may not be easy to travel, but I know what paved this road, something more precious than even the most precious thing I could think of on this earth, material-wise. It was Jesus' blood. Jesus paved this road by shedding his blood for us. And I try to remind myself every day that, yes, this road is difficult to walk, and I don't always want to walk it, and I'd rather use freedom just for me and not to serve others and build community and relationship and love. But then I remember, even though it may cost me, even though it may hurt me, that Jesus did this. And if Jesus did this, now I want to follow him and do it too. If Jesus used his freedom this way, I can use my freedom this way too. And it comforts me to know, as this road twists and turns and there's those dangerous parts of it, I know it's not easy and I know it's going to be costly to travel this road and use freedom this way, especially in our world today. But I know it's worth it because Jesus did it and came out on the other side in full glory. And that's what I'm headed for. That's what I want to go toward. That's what I want to live toward. That's what I want to use my freedom toward, building a community of people that go that way. And I know a lot of people may not get that. In a lot of people's minds, they think, oh, you're throwing your freedom away. You're wasting your freedom. But the truth is that you'll be showing them the best way to use freedom when you and I use it this way. Because freedom isn't lost when it is spent to grow love. You may feel sometimes like you're losing your freedom when you give it up to serve someone, but freedom isn't lost when it's spent to grow love and relationship and community. That's where real freedom is found. And that's the freedom Jesus calls us to. Worship team, would you come back? I want us to sing this song as we close called Here As in Heaven. It's an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come and fill our lives and make us aware of God's presence, make us aware of his love and what he's done. And that's what I want us to think about today. Would you stand with us as they get ready and get in place? We're going to ask Jesus to just fill our hearts with this love, fill our hearts with his presence, fill our hearts with this picture of freedom so that we can go out and share this picture into the world. That's what we want to do today. Let's sing this song together.